Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning. I'm Meg Scher. I'm the director of the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, and I'm here with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Meg.
And today we're going to start off talking about banned books. And Leslie, I'm going to hand it over to you.
I'm going to talk about collection development and the relationship to book banning. So my description of collection development is that it's a constant dance of adding and removing books. And in a perfect world, we would have unlimited shelf space, but unfortunately that is not the case. At the moment, we are removing a few outdated books in our 900s so we can get some more space for our biographies that are crowded and quite popular. So that's some examples of the dance of the additions and the subtractions.
Mm.
And as librarians, we use collection development policies to guide our selection of new books and removal of the outdated ones. And we also follow the Library Bill of Rights, which states that libraries should provide resources for the enlightenment of all community members and have a diverse collection that reflects a variety of ideas, stories, and experiences. And probably, Meg, you may agree with this, that this is such a core tenet of building a collection, is that it's well-rounded and diverse.
Absolutely.
And that the book banning seems to go fly in the face of that. So,
yes.
But while the choice of library materials by users is a personal matter, the choice of materials bought by the library is not a personal matter. Like most librarians, Anne and I try not to let our personal preferences guide us when we are buying books or removing books. Neither of us are big fans of fantasy or science fiction, nor are library patrons. So we don't get a lot of science fiction books, but we do buy the popular ones, such as Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, because it's important for us to have these types of books available and part of a well-rounded collection. And then through interlibrary loan, we send out about 250 books a month to other libraries. So our audience is larger than just Norfolk. And maybe we send them over to you, Meg.
I bet you do. We certainly receive some.
And how about you, Meg?
So I'm gonna talk about banned books in a different way. I'm going to share information about our banned book club. So about a little over a year ago, the Hunt Library started a banned book club as a project with the Falls Village Equity Group. And we've been reading different banned books every other month. So the first Friday of the month at 4, we gather to discuss a different book. We actually met last week, and we discussed To Kill a Mockingbird, which I really, for some reason, I had some hesitation about getting started with To Kill a Mockingbird. Of course, I had read it in school, and I haven't read it since. And I enjoyed it so much once I got into it. And a lot of our discussion, you know, we start every book group talking about why the book was banned, and we discuss or challenged, right, both of those. So maybe
right.
It got challenged, but it didn't make it all the way to being banned, or maybe it was banned. And To Kill a Mockingbird has been banned because of language. It's a lot about language. And so we talk about that at the beginning of the group, and then we talk about all kinds of other things, how people felt about the book, how it relates to their own experience. And we've read, over the last year, we've read a number of books, including Genderqueer, which is the number one top banned book in the country right now, Clap When You Land, which is a fiction young adult book. We also read The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. And I've been really enjoying these conversations with people and getting an idea of how different people relate to the book. So The Bluest Eye is about a poor Southern black family, and it was very difficult to read their reality.
Yeah. That is a tough book. I read that during Banned Books Week, and I was like, whoa, this is a tough one.
Right, it is. It's really heart-wrenching. And one of the members of the Equity Group, who's African-American, said, you know, banning this book because of the fact that it makes people uncomfortable, that someone else's experience in the world that's not your own makes them uncomfortable isn't a good reason, mm-hmm. right? That this book explores themes that are really difficult but were truths for a group of people, and that what reading does is it allows us to see the world through other people's eyes, right? And to understand times and experiences and places that are not our own. And yeah. that's why reading a diverse bunch of books really allows you to be a more empathetic and understanding human being. And that's really what we're going for.
I agree. That's a great idea. And I love that you're doing that and following through with that. Because some of them, I think, are so difficult. Like, I really had trouble with The Bluest Eye. That mm-hmm. then being able to have a discussion really helps you process some of it, like you said, and then come up with the empathy for the people and the situations.
Absolutely. So we're going back and forth now to come up with our next book. You know, we really try to. We did some young adult. We've done some memoir, and so we did a little bit more of a classic. So we're trying to think about what our next book is. But where anyone is welcome to join us for Banned Book Club. Our next one will be in January. We're debating if it'll be the 3rd or the 10th. But anyone from any library or any community is welcome to come join us for Banned Book Club, and we have copies of the book available at the library.
Great.
Switching gears a little, Leslie, I'm curious about what your most requested book has been at the Norfolk Library.
Well, the book that has the most holds right now is The Gray Wolf by Louise Penny.
Ah, that's also mine.
Yeah, I think it probably is for a lot of libraries, and my name is also on that list.
We actually have two copies, and we have a list for both of, you know, people are lining up for that.
Yes. Most circulations was The Drowned by John Banville. Mm-hmm. And then James by Percival Everett is still circulating really well. I would say that's probably our next one. I know. Yeah.
That's so great.
How about you?
You know, The Gray Wolf has really been at almost, I feel like there's a patron a day who walks through the door and asks to be put on the list. So that's been a big one. People have also been asking for, and I don't have the name in front of me, Ina Garten's new memoir.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, people have been asking for that. And the other thing that people have been asking for, which kind of segues into my book recommendations, is Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Strout. Which I, you know, she's part of the Lucy Barton series. And I love how Elizabeth Strout can write about everyday life and make it so incredibly engaging. And I feel connected to the characters regardless of, you know, whether they're a similar time of life or a similar gender. I just, you know, you're rooting for these people in this story. And so I really enjoyed that when I read it. Leslie, what have you been reading?
Well, I read The God of the Woods by Liz Moore.
Oh.
And I loved it. That was definitely very, very good. I really enjoyed that. And then I finally got my hands on The Briar Club by Kate Quinn.
Ah.
And she's one of my favorite authors, and I also really enjoyed that book. I felt that the characters were well-developed. Once again, you fell into a relationship with them and really cared about them. And when you weren't reading the book, you were wondering what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was good.
Great. I've just started listening to audiobooks, which is something I haven't. So I live across the street from the library, so I don't have a very long commute. But I've started listening to audiobooks while I fold the laundry or wash the dishes, and I listened to one recently that I really enjoyed and highly recommend. It's called While You Were Out, An Intimate Family Portrait of Mental Illness, and it's by a journalist called Meg Kissinger. And it was published in September of 2023, but it talks about her family history of mental illness. She was in a big Irish Catholic family. They had 8 kids, and everyone in the family, including the parents, you know, struggled with different forms of mental illness and addiction. And so she both talks about her family's story and also talks about policies and mental health care in our country and, you know, where we're kind of failing people with mental health issues. Yeah. And I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop listening. The narrator is Meg Kissinger, and so that was one that I really enjoyed.
Oh, great. I'm going to have to add that to our holdings, I think. That sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it's on Libby, so that's where I listen to it,
which
is great.
Okay, good.
Leslie, what kind of events are coming up for you guys?
Well, this Saturday, November 9th, we welcome author Natalie Dykstra, author of the award-winning book Chasing Beauty, The Life of Isabella Stewart Gardner.
Oh, nice.
Now, have you ever been to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum?
No, but I would like to go.
Yes, it's in Boston. I've been. It's really remarkable. So the book talks about the fascinating story behind the museum and also about Isabella herself, and she's referred to one of the seven wonders of Boston. And that talk is at 3 p.m. on Saturday. And then we have a teen event on November 15th. It's a teen cookie contest and movie night.
Oh, how fun.
So each teen bakes a batch of cookies, and then we taste them and judge them during the movie. And we tell the teens, if you don't have a chance to bake cookies, come and be a judge and enjoy the movie.
That sounds super fun.
The last one is also a movie, but it's a documentary on November 16th at 4:30. We have a screening of the documentary film No Ordinary Life, The Camera Woman Who Brought the Front Lines to the Headlines. And the film is about five pioneering camera women who went to the front lines of wars, revolutions, disasters. And the film will be introduced by Cindy Strand, who is one of the five journalists that are featured in the movie.
Oh, how cool.
And following the movie, she will answer questions about that. So how about you, Meg?
So also on the 16th, but our program is at 1 o'clock, we have Scaticoke Stories of Survival. So we're partnering. This is the second year that the Institute for American Indian Studies has come to the library. We're really excited to have Darlene back. She's both the Educational Outreach Ambassador and a member of the Scaticoke Tribal Nation. So she'll be talking about how Eastern Woodlands Natives adapted to survive challenges brought on by colonization and a lot of information about first contact. So I'm really excited to have Darlene here. And then on the 21st, which is a Thursday at 5:30, Peter Steiner, an artist from Sharon, he's the guy also who does all the cartoons for the Lakeville Journal, which
yes,
I love.
Yes, I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, so he has art up on our art wall right now. It's both paintings, there are a couple cartoons, there are some collages. His work is really fabulous. So on the 21st at 5:30 p.m., he'll be doing an artist talk at the library. And then in early December, we're just starting to get the word out about this. Every year, the Art Wall does a 12x12 art sale. So we ask artists from all over, both professional artists and amateur artists, to produce pieces of work that are 12 inches by 12 inches. Mm-hmm. We hang them on a grid on the wall. They all cost $150. And then people come in at 5 o'clock on the 7th of December. The reception is from 5 to 7. And they buy things, and they come right off the wall. So there's a little bit of like a mad dash about it. Yeah, that makes it really fun. And it's a way for people to engage with art that's affordable. It's also an incredible fundraiser for the library. About a third to half of the artists donate their works outright to the library, which is really wonderful. And it's a really fun party. So that's December 7th from 5 to 7 p.m.
About how many artists do you have that participate?
Over 100. I don't have the exact, but yeah, it's amazing.
That's so great.
Yep. Wow. We often have to hang things over the stacks to put more art up.
I was just going to say, where would you put 100 people of art? Wow.
It is amazing, and our curation team is incredible because the idea of trying to hang them all, you know, perfectly spaced and straight makes my brain want to explode, but they are great at it.
Very good.
Yeah.
That will have to be one I check out, maybe, because that sounds fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. I look forward to it every year.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today, Leslie. It was really lovely.
Yes, and we'll talk to you next month.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.